This podcast is supported by Creative Nation, a music company that motivates people to become the best version of themselves by valuing their unique talents. Founded by Grammy Award-winning songwriter and producer Luke Layard and Billboard power player Beth Layard, Creative Nation is home to Lori McKenna, Barry Dean, Tyler Johnson, Steve Moeckler, Casey Brown, Cassie Ashton, Bear Reinhart, Alec Bailey, Jonathan Hutcherson, and Travis Wood. With 56 radio singles since its opening, 16 of which have reached number one, this company relies on passion, innovation, and inspiration to make the boldest moves in music entertainment. Visit www.creativenationmusic.com to learn more.
Young Entertainment Professionals.
You're listening to the Young Entertainment Professionals podcast, a series featuring the next generation of creative and business professionals in music, TV, and film. Hear their stories on navigating the industry with the help of the Young Entertainment Professionals Network.
It is so cool to know that music, to remember that music is a great connector. You know, it fosters community. And that's a huge honor to be able to facilitate something like that just by telling your story and singing your song.
Steve Moeckler, welcome to the Yup podcast. How has everything been for you?
Oh, man, it's been a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
The first couple months of this quarantine were, when I last spoke with you, it was refreshing, I would say.
Yeah.
The timing was pretty good for us. And, I think we're all ready, feeling ready to feel a sense of normalcy again. But we're not really going to get to it because we got a baby number two here coming any day now.
That's what I heard. I interviewed, I think, one of your former neighbors, Ben Egebrecht, yesterday.
Yeah.
And he was saying, oh yeah, Steve is also, him and his wife are about to have a baby because he's about to have twins with Emily.
Too, yeah. So, nice. So yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome though. So
yeah, how are you doing?
You know, I'm good. Last week, I mean, I feel like with a lot of people was pretty tough, just trying to process everything happening. Yes. And, you know, I was telling a friend the other day, like, I mean, I was in the fourth grade when 9/11 happened, and I remember, you know, I wasn't old enough to completely like understand all the ins and outs of everything, but remember that affecting me, you know, being that young. And so I feel like this is obviously kind of a different situation, but I could definitely tell, like, I didn't do a whole lot of productive stuff last week. I mean, I just was just processing and
yes, me too.
Trying to, you know, take time away from the internet, but also, you know, stay in the know because that's also important.
Because I don't know. I think a part of it may just be because it has our attention because we're not all running in a million directions. But then, you know, it's also just a very powerful historical moment.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
And it's hard to see so many, it's one thing when you look at the main posts people are doing. And then I'm getting caught in the rabbit holes of looking at everyone's comments, which is so not something I would typically do, but I'm just trying to understand the pulse and it's hard for me. I'm a nine. I'm an Enneagram nine. So I really try to see things from every perspective. And to some extent I feel like it's a gift to be able to do that, but I feel like it's been a roller coaster for me. A lot of anger, a lot of just recognizing things in myself, and it's just been a hell of a week.
It has. It has.
Two weeks.
Yeah. I'm a one, so a lot of my time is spent kind of like it. I have this almost like very intense optimism side of me that sometimes I have to like break away from and be a little bit more like realistic, and I think that has been kind of hard. I think maybe that's why it has weighed on me a little bit more because I do internalize a lot as well. So
me too.
It's crazy. How has music been healing though for you with that being said and, you know, with quarantine and just everything happening?
You know, it's been very healing. I wasn't writing a lot at the top of this quarantine season. I was mostly doing like work around the house and, you know, just spending time with our son. And, I had so many to-do lists around here.
Yeah.
I was doing all that. So I didn't write a ton, and the last couple of weeks I've started to write again, and it's been vital for me. Again, as it's I've been able to process some of what I'm feeling in the room with my collaborators and friends. Mm-hmm. And that's been awesome just to have a face-to-face conversation as we're all walking through this and trying to navigate it. And also I think it's been really great to just write some songs that are just plain fun. I don't know, just to get swept away in the creative process. I don't want to say to escape, because that's to have a release and to have a spot where you can get swept away in something, and put the phone down for a while.
Yes.
You know, cause when I'm making music, it's really one of the few things I do. I feel like the phone is so out of sight. And I get swept away in the process, and I've really enjoyed that.
That's awesome. Has there been like a song written that you're happy about during this time that you can maybe be specific on, maybe like a subject that you wrote on that kind of helped you, again, not escape, but, you know, have a little bit of relief from everything?
Yeah. I mean, there's a song called Better Days, that I wrote with my friends Neil Medley and Mark Common. Great, great man. And, Neil had the title and kind of came out of just a long conversation about everything and just kind of a song that's fixated on hope, rather than the division and the anger, not disregarding those things, because they're important and they're part of this process right now. But it felt good to just fix our eyes on hope. For a whole afternoon, you know, and to sit around together. And I think what added to it was just the magic of sitting around a table with instruments and singing together and feeling the vibration of each other's guitars, you know, making a hopeful sound together. That was very, very healing for me.
I love that. And that reminds us why, you know, we have music in the first place. And I hope that, you know, more creative projects come out of, you know, not only what is happening, you know, with the quarantine, but also what's happening in the fight that we're all participating in right now. So you brought back the Slice of the Week live stream.
Yeah.
To socials, to your fans. Can you talk a little bit about like where that originated from and what it's been like to connect with your fans on that level?
Yeah. Thanks for asking. The Slice of the Week started a year ago, spring. Was the first spring that I haven't gone on a headline tour, really almost for a decade. And the reason for that was just because our son was born in January, and there's a number of reasons, but that was the biggest one. Just wanted to be home and be help my wife, and obviously just figure out how to be a dad. And but it was hard for me. I there was a part of me that felt like this, I really need to connect with our fans. It's just a connection point, you know. Mm-hmm. And last year it was I would just kind of literally highlight something from my week. Sometimes it was light, sometimes it was heavy. Just something that was kind of marked the week and would share that. And this year, we changed the format up and just made it a live stream. And I have loved it. It's been so much more life-giving for me to just see all the comments, see the faces and handles I recognize, people I've met over the years, some people I've gotten close to, you know, having played at their homes and spent time with their family. So it really does, and it's really awesome to see our fans recognize each other and interact with each other on there that have met at our shows over the years. So it just puts a big smile on my face. And when I started, I'm like, here we go. There's going to be an hour of me filling time, but the time, sure enough, it flies by. I love, we collect questions every week, and I really try to not play a completely different set every week. Just so, because I know of the people that are really tuning in on there are our longtime fans and supporters. They're the people that know the track eights and nines,
yes,
of my earlier records. So I really, it's a fun opportunity for me to visit those songs and play them where it might not make sense, you know, on a headline tour or something. So it's been incredible. I've been so encouraged by it, and it's also been fun. We've been sending pizzas to people every week.
That's awesome.
So like whenever we announce the slice of the week, there's an opportunity, like you can leave a question or a request in the comments. Mm-hmm. And then my team will just randomly select two people within the comments every week and send pizza for the family to their house. So
that's so great.
It's just been fun, you know, just something small. It pains me to have to miss a second consecutive year of seeing these guys on the road this spring. So it's just a small way to keep that connection alive and healthy. And
right, for sure. Yeah. And kind of going off of your comment too about your fans, you know, those that have been with you along the way from the beginning, you know, yeah, from all the faint lights to, you know, what you've been releasing now. What has it been like seeing a crossover of different fans, you know, interacting, who have, you know, come into the picture at different times?
Oh, it's really moving to me, you know, and it puts in perspective in a way that I think it's easy to lose, mm-hmm, sometimes when you're on stage, and certainly when you're just sitting at your home looking at social media. When you watch something live happening and you see people that have met each other, and it is so cool to know that music, to remember that music is a great connector, you know, it fosters community. And that's a huge honor to be able to facilitate something like that just by telling your story and singing your song. It's very cool.
And so I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, some people that have been in your life along the way who have mentored you and have, you know, steered you in the right direction in your journey as a singer, songwriter, and artist. So can you maybe talk about someone maybe during that time where you got your big break who really believed in you and, you know, helped you succeed to the place that you are right now?
Yeah. I mean, when I think about a big break in, you know, I can't help but think about, Creative Nation, you know,
yeah,
and specifically Luke and Beth Laird, who are just people I have the utmost respect for and who, They built an incredible team around me, in the studio and on the professional side. Man, they've supported me in a way that's been life changing. You know, and even when, you know, major labels all passed and were not interested, they said, "Hey, we're going to be a record label. We're going to form a record label and support you and get your music out." And they've taken a lot of chances on me. And they've also just, Luke and Beth Laird have, I guess the best way I can say it is they've not only supported me as a professional musician, I feel like they've completely supported me as a person and as a family man. And It has meant so much to me.
So Creative Nation is obviously a jack of all trades. They do a little bit of everything. And so as an artist, what would you say are the kinds of traits that someone who is listening to this podcast who wants to get on the business side of music,
yeah,
what kind of traits do they need to have a very efficient working relationship with whomever artist or artists that they are, you know, building and helping evolve?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think one of the most important things is to have a constant open dialogue with the artist or songwriter on where they're headed. Where do they want to go? Where are we steering the ship? And I think that's one of the things Creative Nation has done well. And you got to be willing to pivot too, because artists are human beings. We change, we evolve, and as does the industry. And I think, you know, if everyone, the collective team, the artist being the leader of his own destiny, right? Or hers. And I think it's important that there's a constant open dialogue and everybody is on the same page or trying to get on the same page. So I get, it may seem inefficient sometimes to revisit, to reevaluate and continue to cast new visions and goals. But I think it's actually incredibly important, because, you know, art and artists is just, we're like living organisms changing.
Yes.
And, you know, and I think sometimes what can happen is you form a relationship and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Business side has a vision, artist side has a vision. And if they can't, and then as the career moves and values may change or experiences change you as a person, I think that can be a big divide.
Yeah.
And, but I think it's Creative Nation has done an amazing job. Just we continue to come around the table often and just say, you know, what are we going for? How can we do better? How can we support you and succeed together?
For sure. And I mean, they've even been so great to work with, you know, from the media side of things. So yeah, I'm sure, you know, yeah.
I'm not surprised. I'm so glad to hear that. They really are just some of the best people. I think that's, and I guess that's maybe a better way to even say it. And I kind of reiterating what I just said, but it's like, they don't treat their employees or artists like just like a business, right? They mm-hmm. treat them like people. They care for them holistically. And I think that is really the key to longevity.
Can you talk briefly about the vision that you all worked on in terms of the album Blue Jeans and, you know, what that process was like and even, you know, most recently how your fans have been responding to the album?
Yeah. I've loved making the Blue Jeans album. We brought a co-producer named Nick LaBelle in to work on it. The previous albums, Steel and Born Ready, were just produced by Luke Laird. And we just wanted to just some more sonic details going on, just some different textures. Just again, kind of want the sound to be a living thing that can grow and change. And Nick was an amazing partner to bring in. And I felt like we recorded these songs live with a band, which is how we've always done the records with Luke. And we started in the same way, but then Nick would take these tracks that we made in the studio, bring them back to his home studio and almost kind of treat him like a mad scientist. You know, he'd take them apart and put them back together, maintaining the organic nature of the sounds, which is I think a big part of my music.
Yes, of course.
The sound of real instruments, but he would tweak them and jack them up and just dial, you know, put them under crazy dials and stuff. And it would just make something new out of it. And I'm so proud of how it all came together. And the songs, you know, are really, I know, I feel like artists always say this. I feel like I've always said this. This is just the journey. It feels like the most personal album I have put out. And I guess by that, I mean, you know, I've sung about subjects I've never sang about before, like the anticipation of becoming a father mm-hmm. and, you know, and dealing with, the pain of a grandparent, you know, struggling with Alzheimer's and just some more honest stuff in even in my marriage, you know, now being married yeah. for 7 years, every song isn't a, hey, let me, you know, we're just falling in love, right? There's still songs about that, but there's also songs about being in a relationship that's further down the road, you know,
yeah.
like a song like Push. And so I don't know. I feel like the songs are just a little more grown up. There's still some fun ones and that are, you know, looking back. But there's also some songs that are just really honest about exactly where I am in my life right now. And I think the response has been encouraging because I think our audience is knows me so well, you know, and because of our relationship with the Hometowns and Campgrounds tour and more, you know, I think they know it's real, and they know I'm giving them an honest story and perspective. It always feels so good just to be known, to be seen and understood. And because I think I'm telling their story too. That's what I hope.
Yes. And I mean, again, you know, I think that's really what fans want to hear. They want to hear what your story, you know, on the other side of being a songwriter or touring artist is, aside from your music and how you're communicating that, for example, through this album.
Yeah. Thank you. I think so too. And, I get, yeah, the response, it has felt like it's really resonated with our core audience, and I feel like they're identifying with it and enjoying the new sound too.
For sure.
So it's been really fun.
So for someone that is, you know, has been touring, whether as a singer, songwriter, or an artist, and is trying to, you know, build on that, grow, and what kind of advice do you have for that person in terms of maybe what ways they can practice during a time when live touring isn't a thing, so that when it does become a thing, they can be prepared in different ways that maybe they didn't have time to prepare for when touring was available?
Yeah. Man, I mean, that kind of brings me back to Slice of the Week, because I think that's been a huge, you know, benefit that I didn't talk about when I originally answered the question. But when I think about it, you know, I think it's a live show is really it's a relationship with you and an audience. And I think, like any relationship, you know, it's the way you keep it healthy is by communication and dialogue and being open and available. And I think also just the simple craft of singing and playing guitar, you know, and telling stories. So for me, I think, you know, the Slice of the Week has been a great way to just kind of keep my chops up, stay connected to my audience, make sure I'm not forgetting who they are, what they're interested in, what they care about, and why they want to listen to my music in the first place. You know, it really keeps me oriented and grounded and connected to, you know, the reason that I'm singing. Not to mention, it keeps me from forgetting my songs, because
yes,
when you write as many songs as we do, sometimes it's easy to forget some of your songs that are so old. So it's a great way to just keep dusting off the songs and you know, keep your voice strong and your stage chops to some degree intact. And I think that's, you know, I think a lot of artists are already doing that. I think that's almost the best we can do right now.
Is there anything that, you know, fans can keep in touch with in terms of on your social media of, you know, maybe not a new project coming up, but, you know, some new Slice of the Week live streams? How can they, you know, stay involved and engaged with what you're doing right now?
Yeah, I mean, our socials are always, they have the latest and greatest news on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Every Slice of the Week we announce on Monday. And in the comments, there's an opportunity to drop a question or a song request, and that will qualify you to win pizza. And we do have some new stuff we're developing and products we're going to be releasing soon.
Oh, nice.
And people on my email list will be the first to hear about that on the smoking section. So they can sign up for that on our website, SteveMilkler.com.
Yes. And then you also have, I noticed you have a smoking fan section account on Instagram.
Yes, we do. That is run by our two biggest fans, how I call Die Hard Deb and Corey Tate. And, they're awesome supporters and really foster the community and help keep the smoking section up to date with all the latest and greatest news.
That's awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing those announcements as well. And, you know, I really appreciate your time of coming on the Yep podcast and, you know, sharing just everything that you've been up to.
Thank you, Libby. I'm honored to be on here chatting with you, and I really appreciate the support.
Well, thank you so much. And everybody, be sure to follow Steve Milkler on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and then your website, SteveMilkler.com, correct?
That's right.
Awesome.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Appreciate it, Libby.
Thank you. Have a great rest of your week.
You too.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Young Entertainment Professionals Podcast. To get connected, visit yepnashville.com and follow Yep Nashville and Yep Los Angeles on social media. I'm your host, Libby Ulrich, and until next time, discover, cultivate, accelerate.